together with his people, but even more so this Christmas season. Come on out tonight and let's join together in praise and invite someone to come along with you. Our scripture this morning is that familiar portion of scripture from the Gospel of Luke. If you'd like to turn there, Luke chapter 2, and I have a couple of those verses up on the screen because as I read through this, when we come to verse 11, and then when we come to verse 14, I would like you all to read those verses, or probably most of you know them, but they're up here for us. When we get to those points, I want you to join with me in reading it from the King James Version. That's the most familiar. A lot of times we stumble over some of the King James, but sometimes the Christmas story just rolls off a little bit better from the old King James. So let's stand together for the reading of God's Word, and we'll read together when we come to verse 11 and then again to verse 14. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people together. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word in our hearing this morning. You may be seated. God manifest in the flesh in the manger. We grew up as little children knowing the joy and wonder of Christmas. And one of the most familiar carols we learned was that first one that we sang this morning. Away in a manger, no crib for a bed. The little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. The cattle are lowing, the baby awakes, but little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. I beg to differ with Martin Luther on that. I think that baby cried. I'm pretty sure he did. Because he was made in flesh just like you and I. He probably did cry, but there was no sin tainted in that cry. The little Lord Jesus there in the manger. I love thee, Lord Jesus. Look down from the sky and stay by my cradle till morning is nigh. We learned of the baby Jesus wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And as we grew older, we came to learn and understand that this baby is the divine Son of God, the Lord of all creation. We've come to know and understand that this child, the little baby Jesus, is the Lord of all. He is, as Elizabeth, the cousin of the baby's mother Mary, had confessed, the Lord. You remember, as we talked about it last week, as Mary came to visit her cousin Elizabeth, she said, of Mary, you are the mother of my Lord. He is the little Lord Jesus. God was manifested in the flesh in the manger. That is, God appeared there in that manger bed in Bethlehem. In the flesh, God was now visible, revealed in the flesh. As another one of the great Christmas carols says in Hark the Herald Angels Sing, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity. This little Lord Jesus is not just another baby. This is God in human flesh, the God of the universe. And that's what we celebrate each Christmas. The Advent, the coming of God, the only begotten Son in the flesh. This is the birth of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, every time a child is conceived and born, a soul that will never die is brought into this world. It's always a miracle of creation, the creation of God. Yet no birth has ever been as miraculous, as magnificent, or as marvelous as this birth over 2,000 years ago. No birth has ever brought this world the blessings that this one has. The birth of the little Lord Jesus opened the door of everlasting life to hell-bound sinners under the wrath of God, which is all of us and all of mankind throughout history, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the birth of this child opened up a way to be reconciled to God, to have peace with God through Jesus Christ alone. Think of it this morning. God manifests, God visible, revealed in the manger. You'll turn with me back to Matthew's gospel, Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23. Matthew references the prophecy of Isaiah the prophet some 700 years before Jesus was ever born. Isaiah the prophet had said in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, that the virgin would be with child and bear a son, and his name would be Emmanuel. Emmanuel. Matthew writes in his account of the birth of Christ, behold, 1:23 of Matthew, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. God in the flesh, in the manger. For unto us, Isaiah 9:6, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government there shall be no end. That is this child. Away in a manger, the little Lord Jesus. If you can find it back there in the Old Testament, Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 23, verses 5 and 6. After Isaiah, a couple books there, Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 5 and 6, we read, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he will reign as king and act wisely and do justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. There would be a branch coming out of the line of David. The Lord our righteousness. And this little Lord Jesus is the Lord. He is our righteousness because he went on to the cross of Calvary and died there, having been tempted in every way as we are to sin, but never sinned. He was without sin, and yet he died in our place because God made him, Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The Lord, our righteousness. The Lord, for in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And all things that were ever made were made by him, this Word who was in the beginning with God, the Lord our righteousness. And the Word was made flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we have beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This is Jesus who purchased our sins with his blood. Acts 20 verse 28 tells us of the church of God, which this little Lord Jesus hath purchased with his own blood. God sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Jesus, Romans 9, 5, was from the nation of Israel, from the patriarchs is traced the human ancestry of Christ, who is God over all, forever praised. He was in very nature God, Philippians 2, 6 tells us. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 18, we read of Jesus there again, that Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, lying in a manger. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. This is Christ. This is God manifest in the flesh, lying in a manger this morning. The little Lord Jesus was manifested, appeared. He appeared to take away our sins. And in him is no sin. That's why he could take away my sins. That's why he can take away your sins. Because he came and he had no sin. He didn't deserve to die. The wages of sin is death. He had none. He died for yours. He died for mine. You see, at just the right time, in due time, God sent forth his Son, born of the virgin, born of a woman, born under the law, to deliver us from the condemnation of God's law that is upon us because we've disobeyed it and we've rebelled against God. And he was sent at just the right time to rescue us. Oh, how grateful we should be. At just the right time, Galatians 4, verse 4, in due time. When was this time? When was this time that God was manifest in the flesh in the manger? Well, it was when, according to Luke 2, it was when Augustus, the first Roman governor, emperor, made a decree that all the world should be taxed. That was at just the right time. That was when it happened. And as you look at that account there in Luke chapter 2, and you realize what was going on in the world at that time, we see that God's hand is in every detail of the birth of his Son, including the timing. It was just the right time. It seemed that the scepter was practically departing from Judah. And Genesis 49 in verse 10, we read that the scepter, that is the sovereign rule, will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet until he comes to whom it belongs, and the obedience of the nations is his. That was speaking of Christ who would come. You see, at the birth of Christ, the Jews were coming under the dominion and taxation of a foreign government. Strangers were beginning to rule over the Jewish people, God's people. They no longer had a truly independent government of their own. Due time had come for the promise of the ages, the Messiah to come and appear as God in the flesh, our Emmanuel. So Caesar Augustus taxes the world, and all at once Jesus Christ is born. Born is the King of Kings, the King of Israel, the people of God out of every tribe, language, and people for whom the Lord would give his life as an atoning sacrifice was now here so that the scepter would not depart out of Judah. The sovereign reign and rule of the King of Kings had come with the birth of Jesus Christ. And he would reign and rule not only over Jewish people, but over people from all the tribes and languages of the world. And that includes us who come to him today. Oh, think of it. Think of it this morning. Back there 2,000 years ago, all the civilized earth at the time was governed by one rule. The Roman Empire was at its height. But now it was time. Time for the gospel. The good news of Christ. And there was nothing to prevent the preaching of the gospel to spread from city to city. Everything was in place. The Roman Empire was in place so that the gospel could be spread. The good news could go out, not only just to the Israelites in Judea, in Palestine, but throughout the world. All the rulers of the world, all the philosophers, all the leaders of the world had left it yet in the dark. Darkness of idolatry and sin prevailed over the earth at the time. It was time for God to intervene from heaven and to send down an almighty Savior. In due time, the little Lord Jesus came to be born. Romans 5:6 that we read earlier, you see at just the right time, Christ came. Christ died for the ungodly. That's me. That's you who trust him today. Today, this Advent, this Christmas season, remember, our times are in God's hands. Psalm 31:15. God knows our need. He knows man's need throughout the world, and he will send help to his church and light to the world yet in darkness by the gospel of this child that was born. And so we must not become anxious about the state of our country or the state of the world and the affairs of this world today, because God is the ruler yet. Christ is the Lord. He is King. The baby born, and he reigns, and he will reign forever and ever. And he was born just the right place, not at Nazareth of Galilee, where his mother, the Virgin Mary, lived, but in Bethlehem. For the prophet Micah in chapter 5 and verse 2 had prophesied that it would be here in the little town of Bethlehem that Christ would be born. Why? Why would Mary go to Bethlehem? She's from Nazareth. She's pregnant. Why? Because God said that's where he was to be born. And God was in control. Then as he is now. And Caesar Augustus sends forth this decree, and the earthly ruler decrees things, and he expects things to happen. But you know that there is one who decrees over all other rulers, and that is our sovereign God. And God had decreed that this would be happening in Bethlehem. And why was it so important to be in Bethlehem? Because this is the city of David, where David, the matchless King of Israel from times past, had been born. And this King of Kings was to come from David's line. David grew up in Bethlehem, and he was a shepherd. And now this little Lord Jesus to be born is a shepherd, the shepherd of his people, the shepherd who laid down his life for his people, the shepherd who shepherds his people today. And not only that, this little Lord Jesus manifest in the manger, in the flesh, was born in Bethlehem because Bethlehem means house of bread. And Jesus Christ is the bread of life. He's the one that you need. He's the one that will change your life and will give you everything that you need for life and godliness when your sins are forgiven and you're reconciled to God. Bethlehem. God orders everything in heaven and in earth. He turns the hearts of kings wherever he wills. He overruled the time when Augustus decreed the taxing. He directed the enforcement of the decree in just the right way, just the right timing, so that Mary would have to be at the right place at the right time, so that when the days were accomplished, she should be delivered. The proud Roman emperor and his officer, Cyrenius, were only instruments in the hand of a sovereign God, the sovereign God of Israel and of all the earth. Caesar Augustus carried out in history the eternal decree and purposes of the King of Kings. Augustus and Cyrenius had no idea they were helping lay the foundation of a kingdom that would bring down every empire of this world. But that's exactly what was happening. Be encouraged this Christmas 2017, in the year of our Lord 2017, my brethren. Our God is yet the sovereign over all the earth. He rules over all. Don't be anxious. Don't be upset over what's going on in the United States of America. Don't be upset about what's going on in China and around the world, in the Middle East and other places where there's things happening with North Korea and all that. Trust our sovereign God. He's in control, and he's bringing things to pass just as he was at just the right time. Then he will bring everything to pass at just the right time when this same Jesus who was manifest in the flesh in that manger bed will come again in power and glory to receive his church to himself. Thank God. Thank God for our faithful Lord. Yes, there is much sin that abounds yet in the world today. There's much error. There's much rebellion against God in our own country and around the world. But look to God who says, I am God. I am reigning and ruling supreme. Take comfort in your God, Emmanuel. Turn with me, if you would, back to Isaiah chapter 46. Isaiah 46 and verses 8 through 13. Where the prophet Isaiah says, remember this and be assured. Recall it to mind, you transgressors. Remember the former things long past. For I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is no one like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. Calling a bird of prey from the east, the man of my purpose from a far country. Truly I have spoken, truly I will bring it to pass. I have planned it, surely I will do it. Listen to me, you stubborn-minded who are far from righteousness. I bring near my righteousness, it is not far off, and my salvation will not delay. And I will grant salvation in Zion and my glory for Israel. God's going to do it. He did it in the bringing forth of Jesus 2,000 years ago the first time. He will bring it all to climax and conclusion when that same Jesus comes again. Thank the Lord. Take comfort in this, my brothers and sisters. See with the eye of faith in AD 2017 a hand overruling all that is happening and all that we do to the praise and glory of God. Every king, including our president, they're all no different than Augustus. there simply, as someone has said, a creature with all his power can do nothing but what God allows, and nothing which is not carrying out God's will. The rulers of this world set themselves against the Lord, yet they are under his sovereign control. Our God is higher than all. And so it was that God was manifest in the flesh, manifest in the manger in Bethlehem. The scribes understood this as they spoke to the wise men that came from the east in Matthew chapter 2 and to Herod in response to him. They knew it was in Bethlehem. The common people knew it was in Bethlehem, John 7:42. God bringing to pass all that he had ordained. Oh, how glorious to realize all that took place so many years ago and all that it meant for us as you realize the humiliation that God the Son went through to come into this world. Remember, it was through his humiliation that he has purchased for us who trust him a title to glory. Through his life of suffering as well as his death, he obtained eternal redemption for us. Throughout his life, he was poor for our sake from birth to death. And through his poverty, we are made rich. Oh, what a glorious Savior we have. Jesus Christ was born. He gave his life, God in the flesh, in the manger. And I want to bring it back home to us as we think of these truths this morning with this description. It's been written. Kent Hughes vividly imagines the sweat and pain and blood and cries as Mary reached up to the heavens for help. The earth was cold and hard. The smell of birth mixed with the stench of manure and acrid straw made a contemptible bouquet. Trembling carpenter's hands, clumsy with fear, grasped God's Son, slippery with blood. The baby's limbs waving helplessly as if falling through space, his face grimacing as he gasped in the cold, and his cry pierced the night. When people sing of the Savior's birth, they call it a silent night. But as Andrew Peterson has written in his song Labor of Love, it was not a silent night. There was blood on the ground. You could hear a woman cry in the alleyways that night on the streets of David's town. And the stable was not clean, and the cobblestones were cold, and little Mary, full of grace, with tears upon her face, had no mother's hand to hold. She had said, "May it be to me according to your will, Lord." And this is what it meant. As she birthed God the Son, manifest in the flesh, in the manger that night. Because there was no room for them in the inn. As you think and realize who this child is today, and what it meant for him to come, and what took place that night, is there room in the inn of your heart and life this Christmas? What kind of welcome are you giving to Jesus, God manifest in the flesh in the manger, who humbled himself so to give his life for you? Is there room in your daily life, your daily routine, in your home, for Jesus, the little Lord Jesus, God manifest in the flesh in the manger? Let us pray. Our gracious Lord, we bow humbly in your presence as we reflect upon these truths. gratitude in our hearts. And Lord, we pray that you'd forgive us. Forgive us, Lord, of our pride and our selfishness. Our lack of love for you, Lord Jesus, who gave your all for us. And help us this Christmas, Lord, to truly bow in your presence, to confess again that Jesus Christ is Lord, and then to live in accordance with our confession, to walk in you, to walk, to live our life in such a way that it is evident that you are the one who reigns in our hearts and lives, and that yet there is room in our heart for thee, Lord. Strengthen our desires. And for those here this morning, Lord, who have yet to ever bow their knee to you, oh, Father, this Christmas, we pray that you would help them to see their need of forgiveness of their sin and rebellion against you. And know that it was out of your great love that you came and were born and you went to the cross to shed that same blood that was flowing through your veins in the manger, to shed that blood on the cross for them and to see the price you paid. For God, it is but for us here in this time, right now, right here, to repent of our sin and to believe the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that there is peace through your blood shed for us. Move upon the hearts of those that need you most this Christmas, Lord. They would turn to you in faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's close our service by taking our hymnals and turning to 143.